How many of us take for granted that we go to Jannah? What's the possibility that we go to Jannah with no punishment at all? I don't want to know for me, Siraj Wahas. I don't want to know what are my chances. I want to go to Jannah. You have more taqwa than me. You have more knowledge of Quran than me. More Arabic than me. More history to me than me. More eloquent than me. I will lie. I believe most of you better than me. Much better than me. What are your chances? Get it? We have for you Imam Siraj Wahaj to speak on Ways to Paradise.
Assalamu alaikum. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Nahmadu wa nasta'inu wa nastaghfiru wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi. ونعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا ومن سيئات اعمالنا من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له نشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله اما بعد brothers and sisters I am thankful to Allah and blessed just to have the opportunity to say to you assalamu alaikum brothers and sisters over the years I have gotten much feedback from Muslims where I've given talks. People have written me letters. And usually the things that people say to me, they affect me in one way or the other. I believe that all of the feedback that I've gotten over the years, the one that affected me the most was from a young Muslim girl, California. After I'd given a talk, she came up to me and said, Imam Siraj, you know what? I used to be the kind of Muslim that I grew up a Muslim all my life, and I thought that I would go to Jannah. I thought for sure I would go to paradise. And then she said she heard a lecture by one of the imams in America, and she said after she heard his lecture, she started crying and said, you know what? If I don't get my program together, I'm going straight to hell. How many of us think we got it together? How many of us take for granted that we would go to Jannah? I remember it was one of my trips here in the UK, and the brother came to me and said, Imam Siraj, we had one of the imams on TV, and he said that any Muslim that had the name Muhammad would never go to hellfire. I said, wow, that's interesting. I think I'm going to change my name from Siraj to Muhammad, change the name of my wife, call her Muhammad, and all my children. It's not that easy. You don't go to paradise just because you call yourself Muhammad. And you don't even go to paradise because you call yourself Muslim. I have some good news for you and bad news. Which do you want first? The bad news. You must ask yourself the question, what are my chances that I go to Jannah? First of all, I believe that one of the major differences between this Ummah today and the glorious one 1400 years ago is that they had a keen sense and a desire to go to paradise, and paradise was very real to them. While I think that so many of us, every once in a while we think about Jannah, every once in a while we go to somebody's janazah and think about paradise, but usually every day go about our work, our business, go to school, doing our business, and usually many of us we forget about the hereafter. What about chances? Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, said that on Yawm al-Qiyamah Allah will tell Adam alayhi salatu wasalam to bring out all of the people that's going to go to Jahannam, the hellfire. And Adam would raise the question, how many? And our beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said that Allah will say, or will be said to him, min kulli alfin, from every 1,000, from every 1,000 take 999. These will be the people of the hellfire. Sahih Bukhari. Every 1,000, take 999 and put them in the hellfire. When the Prophet alayhi salat wasalam told his companions about this, they became very sad. And then he said, "Inni arju an takunu nifsal ahl jannah." And I would hope that you would be one half of the people of Jannah. And they said, "Allahu Akbar. But what are the chances for me? I want to know for me, Siraj Wahaj. I want to know, what are my chances? I want to go to Jannah. Allah knows I want to go. But what are my chances? And what are your chances that you go to Jannah?" I imagine that all of us have our favorite companions. Some would say I would be Bilal ibn Rabah. Some would say I'd be Abu Hurairah. All the Muslims would have their favorite companion. I would be this one. But if I had an opportunity to choose any Sahaba, the one that I would choose is one Sahaba named Uqaysha ibn Mihsan. Most of you don't even know who he is. Siraj, why would you say Uqaysha ibn Mihsan? Because of something that happened 1400 years ago. You see, brothers and sisters, never think that you who follow Prophet Muhammad alayhi salat wa salam have a monopoly on the people of Jannah. No, there's other followers of other prophets who are there. And there's many evidences. When I just gave the example, the Prophet said, "I hope that you're one half the people in Jannah." Well, who the other half? And then the Prophet was shown all of the ummah. And he said he saw even some prophets who had no followers. Some prophets had one or two followers. And some had large groups. And then it was said to him, "Look in the horizon." And he saw a whole multitude of people. And he thought that that was his ummah. And then it was said, "No, this is Musa wa qawmihi. This is Musa and his people." But look to the other horizon. And then he beheld a large multitude of people. And then it was said, "Also look to the other horizon." And he looked and he saw another huge multitude of people. And he said, and it was said, "Hadha ummatuka. This is your ummah. Wa ma'hum sab'un alfan yadkhulun al-jannah bighayri hisab wa la adab." And with these people, your followers in Jannah, will be 70,000 of them that shall enter Jannah with no accounting and no punishment. وَقَامَ أُكَاشَ ابْنُ مِسْنَ. Uqaysha stood up and said, "Ya Rasulullah, udu Allah an yaj'alni minhum. Please, amid dua for me to Allah, ask Allah for me that I can be one of the 70,000 that will go to Jannah with no accounting and no punishment." قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَنْتَ مِنْهُمْ. He said, "You are one of them." Then another man stood up and said, "Oh, Messenger of Allah, make dua that I be one of them." He said, "No, Akasha has forestalled you." Now you ought to ask the question, brothers and sisters, if of this whole large ummah, 70,000 of them will go to Jannah with no accounting and no punishment, then what about the rest of us? Even those of us who sit here think that we go to Jannah, what's the possibility that we go to Jannah with no punishment at all? Or will it be that many of us who will eventually go, inshallah, maybe that we have to get some punishment before we go there? Maybe fast before we go there, we're going to have to go to some accounting? Let me give you an example in case you don't understand what I'm saying. You know, one hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that poor people were into Jannah 500 years before rich people. You've seen that hadith, right? Also, some people say, "So what, big deal? I wait 500 years. You see, it would be no big deal if you're just cooling out for 500 years. But you won't be cooling out. Let me give you an example. We have as Muslims the obligation to pay zakat. Prophet alayhi salat wa salam said that whoever has gold and doesn't pay the zakat on the day of judgment, this gold is going to be heated up in the form of a brand. And you will be branded with it on your head and on your sides, on your back. And then when the gold is cooled off, it'd be heated again. And then you'd be burned with it again. And when it's cooled, it's going to be heated again. Then you're going to be branded with it again. How long will this take? 50,000 years. And then you'll be judged. Get it? Some people have to go through some accounting and some punishment even before they go to Jannah. Now, what's my message today? My message today, open fear. First, be humble. You know why? Because nobody can earn Jannah by their works alone. As the Prophet ﷺ told his companions, and they said, even you? He said, even me, unless Allah envelops me with his rahmah, his mercy. You can go there and do all the work. Think you got it made? Yeah, I pray my five prayers a day. I go to the masjid. I'm the first one online every day. I fast the fast of David. I fast every other day. I wake up every night to Hajj prayer. And I pray for a couple of hours. I read the Quran. Yeah, I got it made. No, you don't. First thing you have to be is humble. Now, I like to take surveys. I'm going to take a little survey now. How many of you Muslims in the audience know somebody that used to practice Islam, used to pray, no longer practice, no longer pray? Raise your hand. If you know somebody that used to practice, no longer practice, raise your hand. I learned something from a sister. Years ago, she came to me crying, Imam Siraj, I come to complain about my husband. You see, Imam, when she said that, when I first married my husband, he was very attentive to me. He used to pay attention to me, used to talk to me, spend time with me. But now, the longer we've been married, the less attention he pays to me. Doesn't hardly talk to me anymore. Now, I know, sisters, this doesn't sound familiar. And he hardly even spend any time with me. And I learned something from her. I remember reading a hadith where Aisha radiallahu anha said of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, "Kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam yadhkuru Allah 'ala kulli ahyani." That the Messenger of Allah remembered Allah in every circumstance. Yeah. He remembered Allah in every circumstance. When did he remember Allah? He remembered Allah when he's eating. He remember Allah when he wake up in the morning, when he go to bed, when he put his clothes on, when he eats, when he sleeps with his wives, every moment. He remembered Allah in every circumstance. كَانَ يَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ أَحْيَانِ. And I read something else. Prophet said to Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhuma, يَا عَبَّلَّهُ لَا تَقُونَ مِثْلَ فُلَانٍ كَانَ يَقُومُ اللَّيْلِ وَتَرَقَ قِيَامُ اللَّيْلِ. Oh, Abdullah, don't be like this person. This person used to stand up at night and then he stopped. Stop for a moment. You know, in the Arabic language, when you have the word kana plus present indicative, kana yakumu, that gives the meaning used to do it. And the implication is they don't do it now. There are many of that among us. We hear them from time to time. Yeah, brother, I used to go to masjid. I used to go to Fajr prayer every day. I used to. I used to read the Quran when I was younger. I used to always read the Quran. I used to. I remember I used to give a zakat and I used to give sadaqah. I used to. One thing I learned about Allah is that he refuses to allow his servants to take him for granted. See, you can't say, well I fasted last year, or I made Salatul Fajr yesterday. What about this morning? What about this year for fasting? So you can't be used to be. What did you do for Allah lately? And sometimes we like to hold on to our laurels, what we did in the past, and think that's sufficient. It's not sufficient. So we have to continue to do everything for Allah every day. In my conclusion, be humble. Why? Be humble because, number one, it's Allah's mercy, in addition to your works, that He give you the gift of Jannah. Number two, be careful. Because Allah has a way sometimes of turning things around. If you saw me 23 years ago in the nation of Islam, and some did, yo, mushrik, you brother in the hellfire. You brother, you're not following the Quran and the Sunnah, and they were right. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was merciful, allowed me into his deen. Was merciful. Allah helped guide me into Islam, so I became Muslim, alhamdulillah. And now the greatest thing that I cherish more than anything in life is Muslim. There's nothing better to me, more loved by me than my Islam. Nothing. Nothing more loved by me than the fact that Allah blessed me to be Muslim. And I love to get up, to make prayer to Allah, to fast in Ramadan, to read the Quran. I'm thankful to Allah because I know where I was. You hear me? I know where I was. Some of you are blessed, never had poison your body with alcohol or some of the things that non-Muslims do. I was there. I was in the dunya, and some of you now thinking to run back to go or to run to the dunya. And many Americans running from the dunya, running to Islam. Now some Muslims now running to the dunya as we run to Islam. Allah waliyyudina aminu yukhrijuhum min adh-dhulumati ila an-nur. Allah is the friend of those who believe. He takes them out of the darkness and he guides them into the light. But shaitan takes you from the light and take you to the darkness. So one day, you can be this close to Jannah. And then you begin to do the work of the people of the hellfire. And then you die in that position. Be humble. And finally, I say this to you. You know what Allah does? He makes me dependent upon this brother. He makes us to depend on one another. Because I can't do it by myself. Because as a Muslim now, it's a jama'ah. If I want to get a better reward, then I make prayer, yes. But if I want a bigger reward, I want to pray with you. I want to pray with somebody. I want to pray in Jama'ah. Because if I pray in Jama'ah, I get a bigger reward. I'm not by myself. And this is why the Prophet said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Haqqu Muslimi ala Muslim khams. A right of a Muslim over another Muslim is five. Raddu Salam. Now I can't give salam to myself, but I have to give it to you and return it from you. And now we go around, Afshu salam abaynakum, assalamu alaikum, assalamu alaikum, assalamu alaikum. Wallahi azeem, I was in a cab. We got one of those called, what do you call, dollar cabs. It takes you for a period and three or four, five people get in the car. So we were sitting there and people were getting in the car and I didn't know the driver. And I saw a Muslim brother out in the street that I know. He said, hey, man, salam. I said, assalamu alaikum. And the driver said, wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. He was a Muslim. I didn't know it. He didn't know I was a Muslim, I guess. So then we started talking. And when it's time for me to get out, I'm trying to pay him and he didn't want me to pay him. I'm giving him money, he's pushing me away, I'm pushing his hand, we fighting. I'm trying to give him money, he's trying not to take the money. So the Prophet is right that when you spread salams, it makes you love one another. Even though we're strangers, we started loving one another. And we talk to one another. Just assalamu alaikum. That's all. Accidentally. So now there's a relationship that we have. Allah don't put you there by yourself. Now you give zakat to somebody in need. Now you have to follow the janazah of somebody that died. Relationship. And then we are so foolish. It amazes me that some Muslims are so pious, so dedicated to Allah, so much service to Allah, and maybe they will go to Jannah if not for their tongue. If not for their tongue. Al-Muslimun man salim al-Muslimun min lisanihi wa yadihi. A Muslim is one whose other Muslims are saved by their hand and tongue. You mean to tell me because I don't go to your masjid, I'm not in your madhab? You think you have the right to talk about me? I have the right to talk against you? You think because I'm not the same color as you or I don't speak the same language as you, that I have the right to talk about you? You have the right to talk about me? You think because we don't have the same gender? I say, you know what? Be humble. Because guess what? Because all that you do for Allah can be taken away. And you become muflis. You know what a muflis is? The Prophet asked his companions, do you know what a muflis is? A muflis is a person who becomes bankrupt. So yeah, a muflis is a person who has no money and no property. He says, a muflis among my ummah are those who will come on Yawm al-Qiyamah with salat, with zakat, with siyam. All of this you will come with on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Look, Allah, look at all my, I prayed every day. Look at all this I did. All the tahajjud I did, all the zakat that I did, a mountain of zakat. But, shatama hadha, you cursed this Muslim. You beat this one. You stole from this one. You murdered that one. And on the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah, Allah will take your good deeds and give it to that person that you backbited. Come on, think with me. Think, man, tongue, think. You get up from Salat and you backbited some other Muslim. Don't you know you're going to have to pay him on Yawm al-Qiyamah? Well, I got me a few dollars. You ain't paying no dollars on that day. Paying with your deeds. So you think because you have a different understanding, your understanding is better than his, you think you have a right to step on somebody because they don't understand how you understand? Allah is my witness. I love every one of you here. Let me tell you why. I believe that some of you sitting here right now are the best of Muslims. Better than me. Wallahi. I think you sitting there, many of you are better than me. You have more taqwa than me. You have more knowledge of Quran than me. More Arabic than me. More history than me. More eloquent than me. I will lie. I believe most of you better than me. Much better than me. But even so, there's some of you just barely holding on to your deen. I know that. Some of you didn't even want to come tonight, but your mother and father made you come. Some of you are hanging on the threads to your Islam. Some of you even selling drugs. Some of you take drugs. Some of you commit fornication. Some of you had an abortion this last week. I know that. But even so, I still love all of you. Let me tell you why. Because Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam said, "Al-mu'minu qawiyyu khayrun wa habba ila Allah min al-mu'min al-da'if wa fi kulli khayr." Al-mu'minu qawiyyu, a strong believer, khayrun wa ahabba ila Allah, more loved by Allah, more loved than a weak believer, but there's good in all of them. So I know some of you are weak, but you got a little piece of iman. That's to teach me, brothers and sisters, be careful. Because Allah has a way sometimes of turning things around. If you saw me 23 years ago in the nation of Islam, and some did, you mushrik, you brother in the hellfire, you brother, you're not following the Quran and the Sunnah, and they were right. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was merciful, allowed me into his deen, was merciful. Allah helped guide me into Islam, so I became Muslim, alhamdulillah. And now the greatest thing that I cherish more than anything in life is Muslim. There's nothing better to me, more loved by me than my Islam. Nothing more loved by me than the fact that Allah blessed me to be Muslim. And I love to get up to make prayer to Allah, to fast in Ramadan, to read the Quran. I'm thankful to Allah because I know where I was. You hear me? I know where I was. Some of you are blessed, never had poison your body with alcohol or some of the things that non-Muslims do. I was there. I was in the dunya, and some of you now thinking to run back to go or to run to the dunya. And many Americans running from the dunya, running to Islam. Now some Muslims now running to the dunya as we run to Islam. Allah is the friend of those who believe. He takes them out of the darkness and he guides them into the light. But shaitan takes you from the light and take you to the darkness. So one day, you can be this close to Jannah. And then you begin to do the work of the people of the hellfire. And then you die. in that position. Be humble. And finally, I say this to you. You know what Allah does? He makes me dependent upon this brother. He makes us to depend on one another. Because I can't do it by myself. Because as a Muslim now, it's a jama'ah. If I want to get a better reward, then I make prayer, yes. But if I want a bigger reward, I want to pray with you. I want to pray with somebody. I want to pray in jama'ah. Because if I pray in jama'ah, I get a bigger reward. I'm not by myself. And this is why the Prophet said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Haqqu muslimi ala muslim khams. A right of a Muslim over another Muslim is fine. Raddu salam. Now I can't give salam to myself, but I have to give it to you and return it from you. And now we go around. Afshu salama bainakum. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. Wallahi azeem. I was in a cab. We got one of those called, what do you call, dollar cabs. It takes you for a period and three, four, five people get in the car. So we were sitting there and people were getting in the car and I didn't know the driver. And I saw a Muslim brother out in the street that I know. He said, Imam Salah, I said, Assalamu alaikum. And the driver said, Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. He was a Muslim. I didn't know it. He didn't know I was a Muslim, I guess. So then we started talking. And when it's time for me to get out, I'm trying to pay him and he didn't want me to pay him. I'm giving him money, he's pushing me away, I'm pushing his hand, we fighting. I'm trying to give him money, he's trying not to take the money. So the Prophet is right that when you spread salams, it makes you love one another. Even though we're strangers, we start loving one another. And we talk to one another, just assalamu alaikum, that's all. Accidentally. So now there's a relationship that we have. Allah don't put you there by yourself. Now you give zakat to somebody in need. Now you have to follow the janazah of somebody that died. Relationship. And then we are so foolish. It amazes me that some Muslims are so pious, so dedicated to Allah, so much service to Allah. And maybe they will go to Jannah if not for their tongue. If not for their tongue. Al-Muslimun man salim al-Muslimun min lisanihi wa yadihi. A Muslim is one whose other Muslims are saved by their hand and tongue. You mean to tell me because I don't go to your masjid, I'm not in your madhab, you think you have the right to talk about me, I have the right to talk against you? You think because I'm not the same color as you or I don't speak the same language as you, that I have the right to talk about you, you have the right to talk about me? You think because we don't have the same gender? I say, you know what? Be humble. Because guess what? Because all that you do for Allah can be taken away. And you become muflis. You know what a muflis is? The Prophet asked his companions, do you know what a muflis is? A muflis is a person who becomes bankrupt. He said, yeah, a muflis is a person who has no money and no property. He says, a muflis among my ummah are those who will come on Yawm al-Qiyamah bi salat wa zakat wa siyam. All of this you will come with on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Look, Allah, look at all my, I prayed every day. Look at all this I did. All the tahajjud I did. All the zakat that I did. A mountain of zakat. But, shatama hadha, you cursed this Muslim. You beat this one. You stole from this one. You murdered that one. And on the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah, Allah will take your good deeds and give it to that person that you backbited. Come on, think with me. Think, man, tongue, think. You get up from Salat and you backbited some other Muslim. Don't you know you're going to have to pay him on Yawm al-Qiyamah? Well, I got me a few dollars. You ain't paying no dollars on that day. Paying with your deeds. So you think because you have a different understanding, your understanding is better than his? You think you have a right to step on somebody because they don't understand how you understand? Allah is my witness. I love every one of you here. Let me tell you why. I believe that some of you sitting here right now are the best of Muslims. Better than me. Wallahi. I think you sitting there, many of you are better than me. You have more taqwa than me. You have more knowledge of Quran than me. More Arabic than me. More history than me. More eloquent than me. I will lie. I believe most of you better than me. Much better than me. But even so, there's some of you just barely holding on to your being. I know that. Some of you didn't even want to come tonight, but your mother and father made you come. Some of you are hanging on to threads to your Islam. Some of you even selling drugs. Some of you take drugs. Some of you commit fornication. Some of you had an abortion this last week. I know that. But even so, I still love all of you. Let me tell you why. Because Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam said, Al-mu'minu qawiyyu khayrun wa habba illallah min al-mu'min al-da'if wa fi kulli khayr. Al-mu'minu qawiyyu, a strong believer, khayrun wa habba, ahabba illallah, more loved by Allah, more loved than a weak believer, but there's good in all of them. So I know some of you are weak, but you got a little piece of Iman. That's to teach me, brothers and sisters. If I'm a believer today, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep me on Surat al-Mustaqim and keep you and us on Surat al-Mustaqim. Keep us on Surat al-Mustaqim. Keep us there. If we're there, keep us there. And if we're not there, bring us on Surat al-Mustaqim. And I want to be the kind of brother that if I see you in the mud, I'm not going to laugh at you. I'm going to put my head in the mud and try to bring you up. Come on, brother. Come on, man. Get out of the mud. Leave this mud. Get out of it and come back to the masjid. Come back, sister. Come back to the masjid. Put on your holy garments and come back to the masjid. I want to be that kind of brother because maybe if I help you, maybe Allah help me the day that I need the help. Instead of beating down one another, I don't want to be a muflis on the day of judgment, and therefore, I don't want to say anything to hurt any one of you. I close with this. Now, you who sit here tonight on the highest level, I ask you to consider this. There will never be a time where every Muslim will be on the same level. Never. Never. This is why Allah has made degrees in Jannah. Firdaus, you want Firdaus? You want the highest Jannah? Go on, strive for it. Go on, try to reach it. But just remember, there's all kinds of levels because there's all kinds of people. You mean to tell me in the time of Prophet Muhammad alayhi salat wa salam, there were no people that committed zina? Yes, there were. There was a woman who committed zina. She committed adultery and became pregnant as a result of the adultery. And she came to the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam and confessed her adultery. And when she persisted, the Prophet said, go away, and when you have the baby, suckle the baby. And after you wean the baby, then come back to me. And she did. After giving birth to the baby, she suckled the baby for as long as she could, and then she weaned the baby. Then she came back to the Messenger of Allah, as compassionate as he was. When it came time to implement the laws of Allah, he did it. And so he ordered capital punishment. And after she was stoned to death, they buried her. The Messenger of Allah stood up and made Salatul Janazah over the woman. And Umar radiallahu anhu said to the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa salam, Kayfa tasalli alayha wa qad zanat? How can you pray over this woman and she committed adultery? How could you do it? He said, oh Umar, this woman has made such repentance that if it was spread over 70 people of Medina, it would suffice all of them. That's how Allah is. So I know you made mistakes. I know it. You're making mistakes tonight. Even some of you plan to do something tonight. Change your niyyah. Make tawbah to Allah. Ask Allah to forgive you. And then stop what you're doing tonight. Let tonight be the last night. Stop it tonight. Why? Because you never know that moment comes when you least expect it. And that's where death usually comes. كل نفس ذائقة الموت Every soul shall taste of death. Maybe, brother, right in the moment you're making the next transition or transaction of drugs. Angel of death come to you. Right then, boom! You selling drugs, boom, right there. Or you sell drugs to a police officer and then you're in jail for the next 20, 30 years. Stop now. Like the man who murdered 100 people, he stopped at the right time because at that moment he stopped. Death was right near him. He didn't know it. Allah forgave him because he came to the right moment. The man who came to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, Ya Rasulullah, uqatilu a uslimu. Should I fight or should I become Muslim? Aslim thumma qatil. Become Muslim first, then fight. Fa aslama wa qatala wa qutila. Fa qala amila qalila wa ujira kathira. Man came and said, Prophet, should I fight or should I become Muslim first? He said, become Muslim first and then fight. He became Muslim. He fought and he was slain right away. And the Prophet said he did little work but got big reward. He came at the right time. Turned his life around at the right time. So brothers and sisters, my message today is very simple. Be humble. Think about Jannah all the time. Make tawbah to Allah and help one another. You brother, who got an argument with your brother, remember this, never forget it. Every Monday and every Thursday, the gates of Jannah are opened. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives every Muslim who doesn't associate gods with Allah. He forgives every Muslim who doesn't associate gods with Allah, except two people who have enmity with one another. And it is said, أَنذِرُ حَذَّانِ حَتَّى يَسْتَلِهُ. Hold these two back until they reconcile with one another. You see, Allah not going to let you be by yourself. So brothers and sisters, I leave you making dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive us all of our sins. Have mercy upon us. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bless you sisters, continue in your great righteousness, and you brothers, and make you examples for the people of this society, so that they will see Islam as the way because of the good practice of the Muslims. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
We can begin our formal second session of today's program, the question and answer session.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. I would like to ask a question, and it is regarding the issue of music. Please, I would like your opinion on it, and if you could throw some light on it, if at all. I find that many of our young Muslim brothers and sisters are so dependent on music that it seems that they cannot get away from it, and it is as though it is an essential item of their life. What can you tell us about the punishment that is possible and the consequences of listening to this music, and in particular on perhaps imposing or encouraging other young brothers and sisters towards listening to music? Jazakallah khair.
You see my reluctancy to answer the question for a reason. First, brothers and sisters, I just remembered something that nobody reminded me. I told you I had some good news and bad news. And you say you wanted the bad news first. You never asked me the good news. So that means you don't want it. And I just wanted to remind you, actually, I wanted to close the talk with the words of the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, Kul ummati yadkhuluna jannah illa man aba. This is what I was going to say, that all of my ummah, he said, will go to Jannah, except for those who refuse. And of course, the natural question would be, وَمَنْ يَعْبَى يَا رَسُولُ. Who would refuse? مَنْ أَطَعَنِي دَخَلَ جَنَّةً. Whoever obeys me, the Prophet said, will enter Jannah, and whoever refused have disobeyed or have refused. So alhamdulillah, what I was saying is that relatively it's easy because the Messenger of Allah is here. Now for the question of music, akhi, and for a lot of reasons I don't want to answer it. I'm of the opinion that all music is not haram. Unlike some people who believe everything, music is haram. I don't. I think I fall somewhere in between. Based on my understanding of Quran and Sunnah, during the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, there were certain kinds of music. What kind of music is halal? First, any singing that words itself are good or good, alhamdulillah. So a person may sing songs and it's acceptable. The objection, of course, would be women singing in front of men because of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the voice of the woman different. There are some people who have the opinion that a woman's voice is an aura. I don't agree with that. And the Quran is very careful about that. But it could be if a woman is making her voice too beautiful, then a man who has in his heart a disease, it can affect him. So you're not going to have women sing in front of men, because this would violate the ayat in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the wives of the Prophet not to make their wives, and even other women, not to make their voices too soft and compliant. That's one issue. The next issue would be instruments, musical instruments. And there's a lot of debate about that. Let's take what we agree, everyone agrees, the duft is a certain instrument that was done during the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and there was no prohibition. So the question is, what kind of instrument, what kind of singing? Brothers, I will tell you to be careful. مَن تَشَابَعَ بِقَامٍ فَهُوَ مِنْهُمْ, the Prophet said, whoever imitates the people of them. So brother, I would feel much better if you were going to sing songs and play the kinds of music instruments that are acceptable to Islam, that don't imitate the non-Muslims. Don't imitate the way they move and the way they do things. Sometimes a person calls himself Islamizing rap. But the mannerisms are the same. I personally don't like that. Notice what I said. I personally don't like that. Is it haram? Well, you could say it's not haram if they take some rap song and Islamize it. Probably not haram, but if you want to, question is, you want to do that. Now to come to your point. I believe, brothers and sisters, that there is, my teacher, Sheikh Jafar Idris, one of my teachers, taught us in 1978 that the Quran is a message and a method, and that we must be aware as teachers, there's a method that we have to use to help the Muslim come from one stage to another. And I believe that there's a way that we can help our youth to come away from this tremendous love and pull of the music. I give an example. I don't know anyone who loved music more than me. I loved music. I had all kinds of records. I loved all kinds of music. But when I became Muslim, when I heard the Quran, Wallahi Azeem, I swear to Allah that there's nothing more appealing to me than good recitation of Quran. I was with one of our students the other day. We were driving down the street, and it was funny because it's very hot in New York right now, and a Jeep pulled next to us and was playing some music. Both of us at the same time did like this because we didn't like it. And maybe some Muslims would like what they heard, but I no longer like that. I'm not attracted to that. So rather than talk about any punishment, because I'm not aware right now of in the hereafter, musical instruments, I'm not aware, but I would rather develop, brother, a way to bring them out of that and bring them into something different. And this is really my approach. And just remember that in this audience, alhamdulillah, there are people of different degrees, and let us try to help them, inshallah. So to sum up, to repeat, there is some questions, serious questions about certain music instruments, string instruments and flute. From what I understand, the hadith as I understand it, some serious questions about the legality of it seems to be haram. Jazakallah khair. And the last two questions, relatively fast. What is your opinion about spirituality and meditation and using them to purify ourselves? Brothers and sisters, the best advice that anyone can give you, if you want to purify yourself, there's no better way of purifying yourself than following the sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whatever he did, follow what he did. If he didn't do it, try to avoid it. Some people I know, they get together and they say the name Allah. Allah, 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 Allah. Can we say the name Allah? Sure we can. But is this the way to do dhikr? Is this the way the Prophet did it? My suggestion is, if you want to purify yourself, Allah has given us the way, the Prophet has purified us. He's telling us to make dhikr, but dhikr. Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah. So he gives us dhikr, so we want to do it like he did it. And that's where we can be successful. And the last one is a very interesting question. In the Quran, many ayats state that you will enter a paradise or hell fire and stay there forever. Many hadiths say some will enter hell fire and then come out and then go to paradise. Please explain this confusion. Yes, I understand. According to how I understand Quran, khalidina fiha, they shall be in the hellfire forever. I believe that there are some people definitely will be in hellfire forever, will never escape. Truthfully, brothers and sisters, this was one of the most difficult things for me to understand as a human being. I'm telling you, It's very difficult for me to understand that. I only accept it with faith. Some scholars may believe the ayat Khalidina fiha. What does that mean? Definitely, there will be some people in hellfire who will come out. Definitely. The Prophet ﷺ said, whoever says La ilaha illallah and has in their heart an Adam's word of faith will be taken out of the hellfire. Alhamdulillah, we believe that every Muslim will ultimately be taken out of the hellfire. Again, as I believe, according to how I understand hadith, that there are some people that Prophet Muhammad ﷺ will be intercession, will bring out of the hellfire. And then at one point, the only people left in hellfire, according to the sound hadith, is those whom the Quran has imprisoned, and they cannot come out. This is how I understand it with faith. Wallahu alam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.